I love Chance. He keeps it real, right? He said, as you do these tithes and offerings. And Jesus said, be a doer of the word. So he's scripturally correct. But anyway, I want to just start by thanking our church at large, especially those that were here to serve at the funeral service, the celebration of life service we did yesterday for Lindsay Good. That's Ellen's daughter, Ellen Good. Is Ellen here this morning? I'm not expecting her to be here, but I was so blessed to see how many people in our church showed up to serve Ellen and her family. And so if you were part of that, I just want to say thank you. That was a tremendous, it was a tremendous witness, and it's right in line with what we're talking about, how to bless our neighbors, whether it's your literal neighbors next door or your neighbors at church or your neighbors at work. Fantastic. And I know that put a smile on God's face, and I know it blessed Ellen tremendously. So thank you. Somebody said, you know, we do funerals really well. I'm not necessarily wanting a name for that, but it is at times like funerals where people are hurting and they're grieving and they just need to experience God's love. And I'm so proud of our church for being really great at that. So thank y'all. Several years ago, Gallup Research presented practicing Christians with a series of statements to see if they agreed or disagreed. So I'm going to read a few of them, and you can play along, you know, either agree or disagree. But the first one is, the best thing that could ever happen to someone is for them to come to know Jesus. 96% agreed in that survey. Here's another one. Part of my faith includes being a witness for Jesus. 96% either strongly or somewhat agreed with that one. Yet, here's the interesting part of this. When asked if they had ever shared the gospel with another person, 95% said no. Yeah. Debbie, that's my look. Huh? So 95% said, yes, we should do that. Yet 95% have never done it. I think it would be fair to say that all of us in this room probably are a fair representation of those statistics, which is why I'm excited when we get an opportunity like Bless Every Home. It's an organized opportunity, bigger than just our church, that we get to participate in. It's an opportunity for us to do what we know we should do, yet for whatever reason, we're not doing it. And to actually put wheels on the great commandment and the great commission is to love your neighbor like yourself. And so I'm excited. We've kind of started in this campaign. It was kind of an easy, soft launch. But every week, you know, you're hearing us talk about download the app. So I'm going to say it again. If you're not a player yet, download the app right now during service. You're on your phone anyway. Go ahead and download the app. Go ahead and download the app. It's called Bless Every Home. Go ahead, download the app. Put it right next to Facebook where you spend a lot of your time. Right there, so it's a reminder. Open up an account. It's free. It takes 1 minute. You get your own dashboard. Put your name and address in there, and then they'll start sending you a weekly email to pray for 5 of your neighbors. And here's the cool thing. It sends you their names and their address. So for most of us, who we don't know who lives across the street, we don't really, some of you don't even know who lives next door to you. You don't know their name, but you don't know their name. So this app's going to help you become a better neighbor, a loving neighbor like we talked about last week. Amen. And so go ahead and start playing the game. I'm going to show you a slide here in a minute. We're already in this. Our church is in this. We're off to a great start, but I think we could get better. This app maps and tracks everything for us. All we have to do is click a button to find out how we're doing. I like that. I started off a series with the same name, Bless Every Home, to kind of help kick this thing off. And so in week one, the title of the message was Blessed to Be a Blessing. And the takeaway from week one is if we're going to be a blessing, we first have to receive God's blessing. Last week it was the loving neighbor. In order to love your neighbor, you need to be a loving neighbor. And I shared some things about how to be a loving neighbor. Today I want to share with you five ways to bless your neighbors. These are five practices that Jesus did when he was reaching his neighbors, who most of them at the time were sinners. He put these five things into practice and revolutionized our world. And I believe if we'll do the same thing, we can revolutionize our community, where we live, our neighborhoods, maybe our city. And so I hope we can get an agreement on this and everybody becomes a player. They get in the game. Some can do more than others. Some can spend more time at it than others. I'm not going there. I'm just asking you to take a piece and do something great with it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us direction in life. It's the living with purpose part of our motto. And living with purpose means to be a witness and to point people to you, to love our neighbor as ourselves. A lot of us don't know our neighbors. I pray that this would be another catalytic event to help us put into practice the things we should already be doing, but for whatever reason, maybe we're not. And now we have another opportunity to get in the right lane and go the right direction for the right purpose. And do it in a way that's relational, not confrontational. I love it the way you did it, Jesus. We want to do it the same way. Would you help us get there in Jesus' name? Amen. The way Jesus did. I wrote down hashtag TWJD. TWJD, the way Jesus did. Amen. So that's what we're talking about today. If you have your Bibles open to Genesis 12, it's the same passage that I started the series with, but it's worth repeating. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. That's a word for some of you. You're too old and you're still at home. Get out of your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the passage where we get this, this phrase, we are blessed to be a blessing. And it's that verse 3 is the verse where I know it's God's heart to bless every life. To bless every human on planet Earth. That means bless every home, bless every family. Now, if that was God's strategy back then, why shouldn't it still be his strategy today? In his book, The Missional Entrepreneur, Mark Russell refers to a study of two teams of missionaries who went to Thailand. And he named one team converters, and he named the other team blessers. Now, they were going for business reasons, not necessarily church reasons. They wanted to go and establish some businesses in Thailand that would be a witness to Christ. But they had different strategies. One was going to use the salvation model of let's convert people, let's win souls. The other group says, let's just go and focus on blessing people and see what the results are. So converters went with the intention of saving souls. The blessers went with the intention of just blessing souls. After 2 years, the researchers discovered two key findings. The blessers made a more positive impact on community life and social good than the converters. And the blessers, watch this, had 50 times more conversions than the converters. Not even close. In fact, when I read that, I'm going, they weren't taught how to convert. 50 times more conversions than the converters, but it came from a heart that wasn't just focused on winning them to Christ. It was a heart based on loving them the way Jesus loves. Amen. And they looked for ways to bless people. And so I'm thinking, that's the model that we want to use. And that's the model that's part of this Bless Every Home outreach. It's the blessed model. And so today I want to talk about it. I think it's the best way, I think it's a more effective way, from that study at least, to accomplish the Great Commission and Great Commandment love, and that requires that all of us in this room who are going to be players, we have to really step our game up as blessers. You ready? So I'm going to share with you the bless strategy or the bless principle that Jesus used. And you'll notice the word bless has a period after each letter. That's an acronym for the five practices that Jesus used. And the first one is prayer. And you're thinking, B, prayer? So it's a stretch, but here's the first point. Begin with prayer. Now we laugh, but I started thinking, Lord, we need to have the word begin, not just prayer. Because prayer could come in the middle or at the end, and that's too late. Prayer needs to become at the beginning. So here's the wonderful thing with this app. When it sends you five people, it just asks you to pray for them. It doesn't tell you to go meet them. It just says, would you start praying for them? So Tammy and I have been praying for our neighbors. We have 23 neighbors on our map that we've been, we have more neighbors in our neighborhood, but our focus is on 23 neighbors. And I've been praying for those neighbors every day for a month. I'm just praying. But here's why prayer is so important. I'm praying, and one day God put in my heart, I'm going to go do something for one of them. I'm going to go do something. I've never met this couple. And so now I'm praying, Lord, would you open up a door for me to meet this couple? So tomorrow's my day off, and I'm committed. Every day off on Monday is my day off. My commitment is I'm going to go meet a neighbor. I see them. I just don't know their name. I know nothing about them. My commitment is I've been praying for them. Now I'm going to go knock on their door, and I'm going to introduce myself, and I'm going to let them know, I've been praying for you, but I don't really know you, and I'd like to get to know more about you so I can pray more effectively for you and your family. Notice I didn't say, I want you to come to church on Sunday. This is not a church building exercise. This is a first century Christian practice to love your neighbor the way you love yourself. So begin with prayer. Hudson Taylor, here's a quote, British Christian missionary to China in the 19th century. In fact, he was translating the scriptures into Chinese, into whatever language that is. And he said this, do not play your concert first and then tune your instrument afterward. Begin the day with the Word of God in prayer and get first of all into harmony with Him. When you pray for your neighbor every day or every week, you're getting in tune with God about how best to love your neighbor. And I pray for all my neighbors. I pray for their health. I pray for, Lord, bless their health. Bless their relationship if they're married. Bless their children and grandchildren. And then I pray this, Lord, would you open up an opportunity for me to have a discussion about you? I want to make sure they know you. Now, if they go to church, they don't go to our church, and that's fine. In fact, I shared this with another neighbor, and now he's taking it to his church, and he's another light in our neighborhood. And so I don't expect him to, he doesn't need to come to our church. We just need to turn the light on, right, and introduce him to Jesus. I made a note here, prayer is a privilege. It shouldn't be a have to, it should be a want to. I want to do this. I get to do this. And it should be a priority. That's why we say begin with prayer. I think some of us look at prayer like flossing our teeth. We know it's a good thing to do. We know our health will be better if we do it. So why don't we? I don't know. Some of you probably do it religiously every day, praise God, but for the other 95% of us, I bet it would be the same percentage as that survey. 95% say it's the right thing, 95% ain't doing it. I think some of the reasons we don't is because we don't know how, or we're too busy. You remember the story last week about the Good Samaritan? Two of the guys that should have helped were too busy to help, so they passed on by. Or we don't believe it works. This is real common for Christians. They don't like admitting it. But for a lot of Christians who don't pray often or pray at all, it's probably because they prayed one time and their prayer didn't get answered the way they thought God should have answered it, and so they dialed it out of their life. Jesus began with prayer all through the scriptures. Just in the book of Luke. In Luke 3, he prayed and received the Holy Spirit. Luke 4, he began his ministry with prayer. Luke 5, before he preached and did miracles, he prayed. Luke 6, before he picked his dream team, he prayed. He actually says he prayed, and the first thing he did when he came back was he chose his 12 disciples. And I could just see Jesus going, okay, God, who, out of all these boneheads, who am I supposed to pick? He's good at picking boneheads to help him. Before he multiplied the loaves and fish, he prayed. In Luke 22, before he was arrested and put on trial, he prayed. Luke 23, right before he died, he prayed. In fact, the disciples noticed the connection between Jesus praying and Jesus doing great things, doing miracles, to which led them to ask Jesus, will you teach us how to walk on water? Is that what they asked for? Jesus, will you teach us how to multiply the wine? No, they said, would you teach us how to pray? There's something about prayer that connects us with God and God's power. And so the wonderful things about this app that you download is it allows you to take that first step just to begin to pray for your neighbor. I believe that when we pray, it opens the door to God's leading and blessings. Amen? And we need to teach our kids to pray. I see some kids in the audience. Parents, teach your kids to pray. Let them pray with you. When you pray for your neighbors, let your kids pray for their neighbor. They're their neighbors too. And you might know the adult's name, but they probably know the kid. In fact, they probably know your neighbors better than you because they're playing over there at that house. And so kids, would you help mom and dad? Would you partner with mom and dad? In fact, kids, if you have your own phone, I would say go ahead and download the app on your phone, open up your own dashboard, and even if mom and dad forget, you're carrying the ball for your family. Who thinks they can do that? Who likes to work with apps on your phone, kids? Who has their own phone and can put this app on your phone? Yeah. And you start praying. It gives you their name. You just start praying for them. Now, I have a picture of my app. So this is my app. Those are the 23 homes. There's one that didn't quite make it off the map, but 23. And some of these, there's like two or three families, kind of like Tammy and I. They're living in the same house or they have the same address, multiple families. It'll break it all out for you. But that's our neighborhood. And they all start off gray. As soon as you pray, they turn to red. So when I first started, all my houses were red. And then if you have a conversation with them and you show care in some way, you get to go yellow. When you serve them in some way, it turns to green. And then I think when they're a disciple, when you know they're saved and whatnot, you turn it to blue. And so it's kind of cool to see the progression. I would say if they just all stay red, that's more than what we're doing now. Just pray, 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 pray. And then here's our church. Oh, I think right now, and I didn't check this morning, this was a few days old, we had about 40 of our members that have their own dashboards that are considered lights. And you'll notice that our church is right over here where that cluster is. But we've got, you know, this is... That's the Bells in Marble Falls. Marble Falls, the Brydens in Smithwick. I'm not sure who that is way up there. That would be what, north of Georgetown? Gerald? Anyway. But that's only 40 of our 200 members. And so my goal is, over time, like 3-4 months from now, we ought to have that map just splattered with lights from our church. So Tammy and I are praying for 23 homes. There's 43 lights. I said 43 lights. Listen to this. They are praying for 572 homes. And that's just a smudge of what we could be doing. What if we really took this to heart and we had 200 of our members praying for 5,000 homes? And then we feed off of that momentum. And from time to time, here's the beauty, we just keep updating the map. And maybe once a month on Celebration Sunday, we put the map up to see the progress that we're making just in our church. And then can you imagine if every church got on board? It's not hard to win a city for the Lord if we'll make it a priority and be prayed up to do it. Amen? And then here's the L. Listen. Jesus did this as well. In fact, he often asked questions so that he could listen and show that person that he truly loved them, he truly cared about them. In Luke 18, the story of the blind man. Now, he knew the man was blind, but he asked him, "How can I serve you?" He kind of knew the answer, but he wanted to ask. He wanted to ask so that he could listen to the man's answer, and the men would generally know he really cares about me and loves me. And I put this little, I don't know what you call that, word picture. But when people feel unheard and unknown, they equate that to being unloved. Now, we could flip that upside down. I don't have a slide for it, I don't think. But when they're heard and when they're known, they equate that with being loved. So if we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, we need to know them, and then we need to meet them and listen to them and get to know them even more. Amen? And so ask questions. Ask questions. How long have you been here? What do you do for a living? Tell me about your family. What do you do for fun? Do you need help with anything? Just normal questions, and then listen to their answer. And as they answer, they're going to tell you in their answer what you can be praying for. And then as soon as you leave their presence, open up your app, click on their home, a little note section pops up, and you just enter those notes. So now when you're praying, you can open up those five homes one at a time. Oh yeah, that, I remember, they wanted prayer for them. Now, God sees this, and he's going, you really do care. You really are loving. Whether they ever know it or not, God sees it. And I believe God's going to bless you because you're focused on blessing people that he loves. And here's one thing you can tell every one of them. If you ever need something, please call me. I want to give you my number. Eat. I love this part. Eat. Jesus did that as well. In fact, he often did it with sinners. He was known as a friend of sinners. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. In fact, in parentheses, in the New Living Translation, it says there were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. In fact, much of Jesus' ministry centered around eating. Again, in John chapter 2, he performed his first public miracle at a wedding feast. In John 14, he performed one of his most well-known miracles by feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Luke 22, he ministered to his disciples at a dinner table the night before his death. John 21, after his resurrection, he made breakfast for his disciples on the beach. Do you see the connection between loving people and eating with them? And so some of you are going to love the third step. But I recommend that you pray first, right? Get to know them. In fact, one of the things you can say is, hey, my wife and I are going to be cooking out on Friday night. We'd love for you to come over and join us. What's wrong with that? It's part of our life group model. Right? Who's in a life group? So when you go to life group, the first hour you spend what? Eating and fellowshipping, and then the second hour we're talking about God's word, how to live it out. But who in here would say, being in a life group, you've got to know your church neighbors very well over a meal? Yeah. So if you're not in a life group, I highly recommend you get in one. Here's the first S, serve. Jesus did this as well. In fact, he taught a lot about serving others and led by example when he washed his disciples' feet. Matthew 20, verse 28, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, I was thinking back when we lived in our house in Round Rock for a long time, 19 plus years, 20 years. Our neighbors next to us were two women, and one of them got cancer. And so I would continually, when I see her, I would go over and check on her, how you doing, prayed for her. But one day God dropped into my heart just to take her trash out and take her trash cans back for her. And so I just started doing that. If I take mine out, I take hers out. And it was a couple weeks, and she goes, are you the one doing my trash cans? I said, yeah, are you okay with that? She goes, yes, I love it. Just a simple act of kindness. And so we just kept doing that, you know. But just something as simple as that, your neighbor's thinking, there's something different about that guy. Something different about that girl, right? So think of ways that you can serve your neighbors. Ask your neighbor, is there something I can do to help you? Like if next time you go out of town, you need somebody to pick up your newspaper. If you have an animal, a pet, you need me to feed your dog or feed your cat, I'd love to help you in those ways. And then, because when I go out of town, I'd love for you to do that for me. Now listen. They would love to do that, but they don't know to ask. And so it's okay to call your neighbor and say, hey, we're going to be gone for a couple weeks. Would you mind coming? I wouldn't start with that, but if you started it, just say, hey, we're going to be going. Can you do that for me? And you know what they'll say most of the time? Love to. And now they're serving you, and you're serving them. And I just know that there's something going to be good in that relationship. And at some point, it will open up a door to do the last S, and that is story. Share your story. Share your testimony. Jesus did that as well. His disciples did it. And so should we. In fact, in John 9, and if you're in life groups, I want y'all to spend some time on this question about John chapter 9. It's the story of a man born blind. He was healed by Jesus. And then he shared his story, and it was so interesting. People were arguing with his story. Now, normally that doesn't happen. Normally, we say share your story because nobody can argue with it. Here's one where they argued with him. But he stuck to his story. And in one sentence, he shared his story. Remember what it was? I was once, but now I see. That was his story. That was his testimony. How many words? Less than 10. Some of you take way too long to share your story. So in life group, here's the challenge. In one sentence, tell everybody your story. What? In one sentence. The blind man did. What would that be? And I'm giving you time because you're going to need some time to think about that before you show up for life group. How would you tell your story in one sentence? For some, it might be, I was full of anger and rage. And now I'm chill. All because of Jesus. I was once an angry, bitter person, but now I'm full of joy because of Jesus. But what would that one sentence testimony be for you? In fact, a good testimony, a good story, if you have time to share maybe a 5 or 10 minute story, should be broken down into three parts. And if you want to take a picture of this screen, this will be an outline for you. Go to the next screen. The first part is my life before Jesus. The second part is what Jesus did for me. And the third part is my life since I've met Jesus. Keep that slide up there for just a minute. That's a good outline for a testimony. And the first part we normally spend the most time on, as if we're glorifying our life before Jesus, should be the least amount of time you spend on that. In 2 or 3 minutes, you can tell them how jacked up you were Don't spend 30 minutes. That doesn't help them. 2 or 3 minutes, tell them how jacked up you were. And then in a minute, how did you come to Jesus? Was it at church? Did a friend pray for you? And then spend 5 or 6 minutes talking about, here's what he's done in my life since. That's a story. That's how you tell your story. So ask God to give you an opportunity to share your story. That should be your daily prayer. That's what I'm praying for all my neighbors. Lord, I just want an opportunity, not to tell my story, but really to tell your story, and I'm just part of your story. That's the story I want to tell. Amen. So, bless. Let's begin with prayer. Listen, eat, serve, and then share your story. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So what have you heard God say to you in this shorter message today? To which you might say, amen, brother. Do you see yourself doing something in this? Simple enough. It makes sense. You don't have to know anything about the Bible to do this. So one of my questions is will you get in the game, and will you start using these practices to bless your neighbors? Will you get the app on your phone, become a player for God's glory, and at least begin to pray for the neighbors that live right around you? Here's another cool thing. You can create your own neighbors. Like, I'm praying for my two sons that live out of town. So I've entered their address and their names. And so if I were to, I didn't give you a broad enough view, but if I could open that map way up, you'd see two down there in the Corpus area. You can do that. You might have family and friends that live in another part of the nation. Add them. You might have schoolmates that don't live close to you. Add them. Workmates that could live on the other side of town. You can still add them to your map and be praying for them. Amen? And so will you use this daily, for sure weekly, but then for those in groups, and an additional challenge for you in groups is, every time you come together, would you maybe allow room for that question, is, who have you blessed this week? Who have you blessed this week? Let that become part of our blessed culture here at our church. Who have you blessed this week? That just becomes part of the conversation. And when you come to Life Group, you can hardly wait to say, guess who I got to bless? And now we're talking about it. We're motivating and encouraging one another. And it becomes part of our culture. It becomes part of our mindset. And now it's not a hard thing to do. It's something we want to do. And we can hardly wait to share the good news with our friends. Amen? Would you bow your heads? I want to circle back around to the story part. You can't tell a story if you're not in the story. Your story might be, well, I grew up in church, dot, dot, dot. But that's not the story that God wants you to share. The story he wants you to share is how you've met his son Jesus, and how you've put your trust in his son Jesus, and how his son Jesus has saved you from the penalty of your sinfulness. And because of his love for you, he's now put that love in you. And although you don't deserve to be saved, it's a gift of grace. It's God's grace that blessed you with that gift. It's the greatest news on planet Earth. God's forgiven me for all my sins, and I'm far from perfect, yet he's got a seat at the table in heaven waiting for me to get there. I don't have to be good. I can't earn it. I don't deserve it. But he put my name on a little placard, and it sits where my seat is. And one day when I die and I leave this planet, I'm welcomed at his table. I love that. If you've not received Jesus, to make that true for your life, I want you to, with every head bowed, I want you to raise your hand and say, that's what I want, Pastor. I want to know, in spite of my sinfulness, in spite of my jacked up living, I want a place at God's table when I get to heaven. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Good. Come on. Be honest before the Lord. You got to have this story if you're going to share a story. Father, you see the hands raised. If you're raising your hand, maybe this is for the first time, especially if it's the first time. Here's what I want you to tell God right now. Say, God, I'm a sinner, and I don't want to die forever. So I confess that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me right now. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash me clean. Give me a good, clean heart right now. Clear my conscience of all guilt, shame, and regret. I want to be free today, right now. I want to be free. You're justifying me. It's as if I've never sinned in my life. That's how you see me right now. And I receive that gift. It's a supernatural gift. It blows my mind how much you love me to do that. But I receive it. And from this day forward, I'm going to live a life that says, thank you. I received your gift of salvation. Now give me a story to tell somebody else. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.